The second word from the cross, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So on that dark Friday, at the place which they call the Skull, an afternoon crowd gathered to watch the crucifixion of three men. Jesus was crucified at about 9 o'clock in the morning, and he remained on the cross till about 3 in the afternoon. And from noontime till 3 p.m., there was darkness over all the land. And this was God's plan, because more than 700 years before, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah had prophesied that the suffering servant would be numbered with the transgressors. So that day, Jesus hung on the cross that was intended for Barabbas. And true to prophecy, Christ was flanked by two other men whom the gospel writer Luke calls criminals. Likely, they were the accomplices of Barabbas. Hanging on the cross, stripped bare and suffering, the Savior of the world was humiliated. The rulers around, they scoffed at Jesus, and their insults were not baseless. For in the Old Testament, the scripture says that a hanged man is cursed by God. So since Jesus was hanging on the cross that day, surely it meant that he was cursed by God and that he was not the Messiah that he had claimed to be. The soldiers around the cross also mocked Jesus. They gave him sour wine, which was actually a refreshing mixture of water and dry wine, which soldiers usually enjoyed with their meals or applied as a relief for fever. But as they came up and offered Christ this drink, they taunted him with that cruel chorus, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Over Jesus' head, we read, was the taunt of Pilate, the Roman governor. The inscription announced his crime. It read, "This is the King of the Jews." So friends, what a spectacle it must have been for the crowd that day. And what was in their mind? Surely, Jesus is not the Christ of God. He cannot be the chosen one. How can he be the Savior if he is nailed to the cross? How can a dead Savior save any of his people? Friends, is this not also the prevalent view of our world today? That Jesus Christ was just a man, no doubt a very good man, who brought about many social reforms. Like others, Jesus founded a religion, and at the cross, his life was cut short. And mockers today, in their prideful arrogance, deny that Jesus is alive. They scoff at the prospect of his return, and they ridicule those who would put their faith in the living Christ. Who is it who scoffs at Jesus? Whose voice do scoffers actually echo? And is there any hope for them? You know, when we play back the death row conversation that took place at Calvary, we hear one of the criminals railing at Jesus. He was guilty of a crime punishable by death, but There was no sense of remorse, no admission of guilt, no humility, no shame. He had no sorry and no pleas. And he chose to turn toward the crowd that day, and he echoed the mocking voice of the devil. He said, "Are you the Christ? If you are the Christ, then save yourself." Now you will recall that these are almost the exact words that the enemy used on Jesus Christ when he was tempted in the wilderness. "If you are the Son of God, dot, dot, dot." And these proud words hark back to the Garden of Eden when the serpent taunted and tempted Adam and Eve to sin against God. Yet to this mocking, the Christ on the cross, he remained silent. He had no words for this criminal. And this man perished in that deadly silence. Let us now consider the other criminal who was hanging on the other cross. He too was being condemned, but instead of joining the crowd to mock the Christ, he chose to turn to the Savior. He admitted that he was a sinner, receiving the due reward for his sin, and he acknowledged that Jesus had done nothing to deserve condemnation. And then he turned to the Lord and made a humble request. It was not for him to be taken down from the cross, neither was it for him to have a painless death. It was the prayer of a penitent sinner to a merciful God. He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Friends, what was it that made this lawless wrongdoer turn to Christ? Was it just the prospect of death and that frightening thought of facing eternity? Today, what is it that makes people on death row or people on deathbed suddenly turn from their ways to put their faith in Jesus Christ? If we turn to our Bibles, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 32, you'll see that the scripture there indicates that when the crucifixion began, that this criminal too was hurling insults at Jesus. They all started that way. But as they were nailing Jesus to the cross, this sinner, like everyone else that day, heard Jesus repeatedly pray, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus was not only practicing what he taught about forgiveness, he was fulfilling God's plan of salvation, making intercession for the transgressors. So witnessing the forgiveness of Christ, the forgiveness that Christ has for his murderers, experiencing the mercy and the love that was flowing from the cross of Jesus to all people that day, this condemned sinner turned to Christ. Of course, it is unfortunate that it took the nails in his hands and his life slipping away for this sinner to see his need for the Savior. How much better things would have been for him if he had turned to Christ earlier on in life. But friends, this story reminds us that it is not impossible for a wayward soul to turn to Christ today. And friends, it is never too late for you to turn to Christ today. And today, being Good Friday, it's a good day for us to do this. Jesus Christ was crucified between two criminals giving both of them equal opportunity, equal access to himself as the Savior. Both could watch him as he graciously gave his life for the sins of the world. One chose the view of the world and to echo the mocking voice of the devil. He died alone, and he was lost in eternity. The other chose to turn to Jesus to meet his greatest need, that is, for salvation. He also died, but not alone. He was blessed of God. He had asked Jesus to please remember him. And look at this, Jesus' response to him was so much more. Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Friends, can you just pause and imagine this for a while? The Messiah and a murderer, the Savior and a sinner, God and you, God and me, together, forever. And Jesus emphasized this truth to the penitent criminal. He said, "Truly, I say to you." Friends, today, are we blessed or offended by this truth? William Willimon, a Methodist bishop, is a gifted speaker and writer. And he tells about a time he attended a funeral service of a man named Joe. A rustic fire and brimstone preacher officiated at Joe's funeral service. And this preacher yelled, it's too late for Joe, but it ain't too late for you. People drop dead every day, so why wait? Now is the day of decision. Now is the time to make your life count for something. Give your life to Jesus. Bishop Willimon says that it was one of the harshest, crudest, most non-conforming funeral messages he had ever heard. So on the way home from the service, he said to his wife, "I've never heard anything so manipulative, so cheap and inappropriate. I would never preach a sermon like that," he said. His wife readily agreed that it was tacky and callous. "Of course," she added, "the worst part of it all is that it is true." To the penitent sinner who was dying that day, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Amen.